Welcome to the Disrupting Obesity Podcast. I'm Charlotte Skanes, and I'll be sharing ways to regain control over your body and lose an extreme amount of weight naturally. Being fat is about so much more than just the food. It's about your relationship with food. That means that dealing with your weight is about more than just the food too. You have to change that relationship. You have to start disrupting obesity. I did not want to write a cookbook. And I don't mean it like it's one of those things that just hadn't crossed my mind. Like it never occurred to me to write a cookbook. It just wasn't on my radar. No, that's not how this all went down. I made a very conscious choice that I wasn't going to do a cookbook ever. I'm in the weight loss space. Recipes and cookbooks are unavoidable. And I swore to myself that I would never do one. It's not my jam. I do calories. I don't tell people what to eat because I think it's counterproductive, especially with extreme weight loss. And if you've heard me talk about meal plans, like the kinds you buy and follow, not meal prepping, meal prepping is a whole other thing. I mean, meal plans where you're told what you have to eat all the time. I've talked about that a few times, for sure, in some of the Ask Whatever episodes. But I don't do meal plans. I don't recommend them. You should lose your weight eating whatever you want, just less of it. If someone is telling you what to eat, how are you supposed to change your relationship with food? What are you going to do when the meal plan's over? Because you're still the same person. I mean, this is why all the diets fail, right? All the surgeries and shakes and shots and pills, 85% gain it back. That's not a small amount. And it doesn't matter how you take it off. I don't know what they've done in the way of studies on causation with all this, but I'm pretty sure I've got an idea of how this all goes so horribly wrong for the overwhelming majority of people. And it's fucking gut-wrenching because it's so hard to lose weight. I know exactly what it takes to get it off, and I know exactly how heartbreaking it is to put it back on. You'd think we'd be spending more time and money trying to figure out why almost everybody puts the weight back on and less time trying to find the easiest way to trick people into somehow getting it off. We know how to lose weight. It might not be the right cultural climate to say it out loud, but I don't give a shit. We know how to lose weight, even if nobody wants to say it because nobody wants to hear it. And I get that too. I mean, we've been sold a bill of goods for decades and decades. Fad diets go back hundreds of years. They keep telling us there's an easy way to do it, and we all keep buying into it because losing weight is so goddamn hard, and we so desperately want there to be an easy way to do it. But it's the calories, folks. You have to be in a calorie deficit. That's the key to the kingdom. It's the big secret, and it sucks. So I don't know why we're not talking about recidivism more, but we don't seem to be. And I do think I know at least a piece of the regain puzzle. We focus on the food. We focus on losing weight. And it's not about that. I'm sure. Concretely, yes, it's definitely about the food and losing weight. But abstractly, it's the relationship. It's the way you use food to comfort, reward, and cope. If you don't fix that emotional connection to food, and I don't mean get rid of it, I don't think that's humanly possible. We're just not wired that way. If you don't repair it, make it into something that works for you and your body, you haven't got a hope in hell of keeping the weight off. You'll just go back to using food the same way you always have. So I don't do meal plans, and I had no intention of doing recipes, let alone an entire cookbook. I've never even thought of myself as a good cook. Like, I'm not a horrible cook, and I've got a few things that I feel like I do really well, but on the whole, not so much. So I didn't do recipes for a long time. I started sharing little food tips, you know, like how useful low-calorie Italian dressing is to grease a pan or marinating meats, and it's a teeny tiny number of calories. Or the way I stretch a jar of nacho cheese and slash the calories, or stretch a pudding cup, right? So it started like that. But then I had a couple of super easy recipes with just a couple of ingredients, and I just couldn't help myself. I had to share them. But I still don't think of myself as a cook. I didn't consider myself one then, and I really don't now. But I do know how to get a lot of calories out of recipes and have them still taste good and leave you feeling just as satisfied as if, you know, you'd eaten the full calorie version. And I've learned that a lot of you want to learn how to do it too. I learned that because you started telling me. you wanted more information. You liked the way that I was breaking things down. You really liked the recipes that I shared. And I was so flattered and really surprised when you started asking when my cookbook was coming out, because I didn't have a cookbook coming out. My workbook was always a part of the plan, but not a cookbook. But you kept asking with pretty much every new recipe that I put out. And then the brownie thing happened, which I don't know if you can even call it a recipe since it was a hack with a box of cake mix, but whatever, it happened. And then companies started reaching out to want to partner up to do my cookbook. And you kept asking. So I took a look at the recipes that I had put out and some of the other tricks and hacks and little cheats that I'd shared. And I realized that, yeah, a cookbook is for recipes, but there's no rule that says I can't include all that other stuff too. And I can be totally transparent with the calorie counts and just really break it down so people can see how straightforward it is to figure it out. I'm really not sure if the gatekeeping on this has been intentional or if the people who put out the recipes think that people reading the recipes don't want to know, but I've been getting some really awesome feedback about the way I'm sharing calorie counts since the whole brownie thing. I didn't figure it out right away, but the important thing is that I got there. I made a mistake in my brownie post. It is my first post to hit over 1 million views, and I fucked up with calories, of all things. That's not why it went viral, and it was up for weeks before it took off, but it was really taking off when the first person pointed out my math mistake. And I was just so many things. I was upset with myself, like super pissed, and I was trying to figure out how to handle it. And deleting the post definitely flashed across my mind for a second or two. But the only way out I could see was just to own it, do the mea culpa thing, admit that I'd made a mistake, edit the caption. The overriding point of the whole video was that I'd cut 1,000 calories out of a pan of brownies. And that math stood regardless of my other mistake. A half a cup of oil is 992 calories, no matter how you slice it. And that's how you do it, by the way. You just replace the oil with Greek yogurt at a 1-to-1 ratio, 0% unsweetened. And you can do that with so much baking. Not cookies, though. Cookies are trickier, but like muffins and cakes and stuff, it works really well. But the whole thing really got me thinking about the way that we share the information around calories and recipes and how just impenetrable it can feel for a lot of people. And I didn't make the mistake again, but I also got really sick of the Happy Bottom Brigade. Oh, that's Gladys and her friends, questioning my calorie counts. Because they'd question it, so I would break it all down a step at a time, and then they'd disappear because it's really hard to argue with numbers. But other people would see the back and forth, and they found it useful. I also stopped doing serving sizes, like how many calories were in each, like an individual portion of each of the dishes I was putting out. Unless it's something that's actually individual, like cookies or muffins, it's too hard to estimate how much someone's going to eat. And it's too judgmental. So I started only giving full batch totals. And the Gladyses didn't like that at all. Not even a little bit. Because who could possibly want to eat all of it? Okay, hi Gladys. I do. And this started with the brownies because the Gladyses were all like, why does it matter if you can take 1,000 calories out? Who would want to eat the whole pan anyway? Nobody does that. Hi. Yeah. So some of us do. And if you don't get that, you don't belong here. And I thought maybe it was just happening because the brownies were going viral and a lot of people who don't usually see my content were seeing my content instead of like seeking it out or whatever. So, you know, they didn't understand that I'm here for people with a lot of weight to lose, not just 1 or 2 pounds. There's lots of spaces for them. Spaces for them are everywhere. And I have a thing about eating whatever you want, even brownies. And I don't believe that fat people should be punished. So maybe because they didn't know all of that, that's why they couldn't possibly understand why anyone would ever want to eat at all. There's no only with weight loss, right? As in the phrase, I only have so many pounds to lose. Losing any amount of weight is hard, but losing 20 pounds and losing 200 are very different experiences. And I just want to make sure that's acknowledged. This space is for everyone, everyone who's struggling with weight loss. But if you're struggling to understand some of the stuff I'm talking about and you feel the need to start throwing shame around, this space stops being for you. I'm cool with not getting it. What I don't know could fill an ocean. But you don't get to make other people feel bad because something is outside of your experience, but it's very much a part of theirs. So when the brownies did their thing, I just kept giving people the benefit of the doubt that you don't know what you don't know. But then it kept happening. I'd post a dessert recipe with a calorie count around 600, and the Gladyses would just lose their shit. That's not a low-calorie dessert. No one should eat all of that. Blah, blah, blah. Fuck. So I would point out that low-calorie is relative and that no one is saying you have to eat it all. I'm just posting the batch calorie total so that it's easier for people to figure out how many calories they had based on how much they ate, right? Eat half, 300 calories. Easy math. Well, the Gladyses fled in disgust. Fine. But serving size errors are the biggest mistake that everybody is making when it comes to calorie tracking. It's fine to know that a serving of the crackers is 100 calories. Great, I don't care. But how many crackers is that? Because if it's 7 crackers and you had 35, your calorie deficit is headed right out the window. So no, my recipes aren't low calorie for everybody, but they're low calorie for a lot of people. Or they're lower calorie alternatives, right? I've got no problem with people who have a smaller amount of weight to lose who just don't get it right up until they start shaming people. Essentially because those people have got a lot more calories to play with. When I started, I had 3,000 calories a day in a deficit. I have just under 1,700 now. So low calorie has been very relative for me. Half of a massive 600 calorie dessert when I started was no problem at all. If I wanted it, I could have it. It's a slightly bigger percentage now, right? Like it's gone from 10% of my daily calories to 17%. This might be the single biggest concrete reason that losing a significant amount of weight is so different from losing a small amount. And it's important to me that my cookbook is a reflection of that difference. So yeah, I've got seriously low calorie but high volume recipes. And then there are also recipes where the calorie counts would look high to some people, right? But it's about how satisfying things are too. Like I do a cheeseburger casserole recipe because it's a big time comfort food for me. I grew up eating homemade hamburger helper variations all the time and I loved them and I didn't want to give them up. I still don't. So I found a way to slash a whack of calories out of them instead. 2,500 actually from a batch that uses 2 pounds of meat and yields over 10 cups. My old version had 5,886 calories. The new one has 3,324 for more than 10 cups. But 12 out of 12 Gladyses agree that it's definitely not low calorie. Okay, fine. But here's the thing. I'm going to eat that casserole. And I can do it in one of two ways. One is significantly lower in calories than the other, and damn near just as satisfying. And for me, it's a million times more satisfying than whatever Gladys would think is a better choice for me. Why not make the swaps where you can to save the calories where you can so that you can get closer to your goal? So I decided that I wanted my cookbook to break the calories down in a way that made it easy for you to see how I calculated the overall calories, just to accurately figure out your own serving sizes, and just to make it easy for you to do your own swaps too, right? The fluff recipes are super easy examples of the swaps. So my oldest likes me to make the one I do. He wants me to make it with mangoes and vanilla instead of pineapple cheesecake or the white chocolate berry. Because the recipe lays out exactly how many calories are in each ingredient, you just pop out the calorie count for the pineapple, drop in the count for the mangoes, then add up the column and you're good to go. The sugar-free puddings are pretty much all right around the same calories, so you probably won't need to swap them out, but you very easily could if there's a difference. Calories are intimidating, but they don't need to be. Pretty much everybody hates tracking, but learning to calculate the calories in your own recipes is very empowering. They're not impenetrable. I think seeing the breakdown is helpful too, because you can identify the culprit, right? That's how I figured out a lot of my recipes. I wanted to keep eating the foods that I like, but some of them were just way too high in calories to sustain. So I had to find another way. Breaking a recipe down and taking a look at which ingredients are bringing which amounts of calories to the table is a very helpful way to figure out what the easiest substitutions are going to be. And you need to make sure that whatever you swap in serves the same function, especially with baking. You can't take out the sugar or the oil, right? And not put in something else that does the same job. The end result just isn't going to resemble the original enough for you to be able to get away with it. Because it's not just about slashing the calories. I mean, that's great, but that can't be the only goal. If you slash the calories, but it tastes like shit, or it's not even close to being as satisfying as the original, as the way you're used to having it, what's the point? Just forget about it. You're better off eating slightly less of the original if your lower calorie version leaves you so unsatisfied that you end up reaching for something else later to fill the void. Like, if the whole point of your favorite pasta is how creamy it is, but you swap out the creamy bits for broth, you're going to end up reaching for something else to fill that gap, right? To give you what you were after. It's like when they say to swap out ice cream, right? And just have fruit instead. Oh, you want something sweet? Just have a piece of fruit. But, I mean, it's not just the sweet part that we love about the ice cream. I mean, maybe. But I'm pretty sure it also has something to do with the fat and the cold and the creaminess. Like, it's ringing a lot of bells. Grapes are great, but they're not the same thing as Cherry Garcia, which is my favorite ice cream of all time. And I used to eat so much ice cream. Like, I love grapes, but when I want ice cream, I want ice cream. And the grapes just aren't going to cut it. In this, for instance, fruit can be part of the solution, right? The fluff recipes. But it's not going to be some magic fix. That comes from the Cool Whip and the pudding mix. At the beginning of my weight loss, I couldn't substitute certain things at all. Like, bacon is just bacon. So the answer was find a way to have less or have none. Because I've learned to appreciate the product they call turkey bacon, but it's not bacon. I wasn't going to trick myself. Nobody's making that mistake. Once you've had real bacon, you're always going to know the difference between it and an imposter. Turkey breakfast meat is tasty stuff. I love it in salads. It's not bacon, but it can still be good. Don't try and lie to yourself. Find a way to make it work instead and make swaps for things that make sense. Okay, so I have nothing against these things. But mashed up cauliflower isn't mashed potatoes. And it can't be rice either. I think spiralized vegetables are great as vegetables, not as pasta. Swaps have to make sense. So the cookbook has a section with my favorite swaps, the things I used instead of other things to save myself a whack of calories without it costing the parts of the experience that of eating it that I enjoyed the most, right? Swaps that were worth making. I wanted to include tips on how I stretched some of my favorite foods because volume is such a big part of extreme weight loss. It's important to learn how to make yourself feel fuller with fewer calories. And I put in a section on surviving the grocery store because even though I believe the best way to lose weight is to keep eating foods you know and like, shopping is still a pretty essential part of the process, right? You eat what you have access to. I also put in a checklist of staples, things that I keep around and just use pretty much all the time. Some things are just, you know, they're nice to have on hand. One of the most important things for me, though, was that you could play with the recipes and swap in your own favorites or swap out ingredients that you don't like. I didn't include everything that I posted, but I pulled all of my favorites and I think I got yours too. Plus, I created a whole bunch of new recipes that I haven't put out on my social media at all. And I'm almost completely finished. By the time this airs, I will be done. My biggest issue has been figuring out how to make it the most accessible. I was initially going to publish it through Amazon, like I did with Disruptor, my weight loss workbook, but I know that isn't accessible to everyone. And since I don't need or want the cookbook printed, that means I can find other options. So I'm going to sell it to you directly through my website. You'll be able to just pull it up and look at it whenever you want, and you won't be limited to particular devices or countries. But that step has added time. So the team and I are working just as quickly as everybody can. And we're actually going to end up releasing the cookbook more than a full month ahead of my original schedule. So once I decided I was going to do it, even before I started doing it, I told everybody who asked that it was coming out in the spring, which I kind of thought gave me a fair bit of play since all of this started like back last November. I think most people hear spring and they think April. maybe May. But really, the first day of summer isn't until the 20th of June. So I was like, okay, I've got lots of time, right? And it would be if I didn't have something bigger than the cookbook coming. But I'm saving that announcement for a few episodes from now. Like, you know the old cartoon where everybody's running away from the little cat and it's all pleased with itself, but it can't see the lion that's standing behind it that they're all actually running away from? The cookbook's the cat. The lion's coming. But I really want you to have the cookbook, and I really want to get it ready for you. And I wanted to do an episode to let you know about it and that it's coming very soon. So, so soon. And I want to say thank you for your encouragement, because I really and truly would never have done this if you hadn't asked me to. So 53 recipes, and I'm including hyperlinks for the ones that I've made videos for so that you can just touch your screen and click on it. And you can go watch me make it and have me talk you through it. There are 4 essays, including the one that fully lays out how I calculate the calories for all of my recipes, not just the one in the cookbooks, just my whole process. And there's a checklist of items that I like to make sure that I keep around. I didn't end up going with one of the companies that reached out because they all wanted me to sign over my intellectual property rights. And I was pretty sure that once I turned them over, I wouldn't have control over how the recipes were presented or what information would be included. And I just can't do that. So I just did it myself, which is maybe a little bit nuts, but it also means it will be so much less expensive, because I'm doing it myself and I'm selling it myself. My team is so amazing, and they've been working behind the scenes to just build a section on my website where you can just go and buy it and have the whole cookbook in your inbox in seconds. I guess maybe the only question left is when. Like I said, I've pushed up its release by it's actually 6 weeks, and I'm still neck deep in getting it ready for you and coordinating the coding and all the behind the scenes stuff. I also record these podcast episodes 2 weeks in advance. So at this point, I know that I'll probably know the date when this episode goes live, but right now, not so much. I can say that this is airing on the 18th, and the cookbook will most likely be available for purchase next week. I'll be posting regular updates on my Instagram stories. So if you don't already know when it's coming out, you will very soon. In the meantime, make sure you subscribe so that you don't miss anything. It's also one of the number one ways you can support me with what I'm trying to do. And I'm very grateful. While you're waiting for the cookbook, and thank you again so much for your patience, you can grab a copy of my free guide to getting started for the last time through the link in the notes. And you can order my weight loss workbook by heading to Amazon and searching Disruptor and my name, Charlotte Skanes. Keep trying, keep tracking, don't be intimidated, and don't give up. You've totally got this. Thank you for listening to Disrupting Obesity with Charlotte Skanes. If you know it's time to take back control, lose the weight, and keep it off, reach out to me privately with a direct message on Instagram that says ready, so you can start disrupting obesity.